Let's do it. So let's talk about getting your real estate license, I guess. George, hope you can kind of take the reins on this one because you have obviously the most experience and, you know, you've probably seen the most people come through the doors over the years. And I'm curious to know right off the bat, what are some things that you found really get people in the door in the first place? Like, what are some effective ways to reach people, I guess, that you found?
Well, I think it's all the media outlets that are available to us. There's no one specific outlet. With our company, with Weikert Realtors All Pro, we've had a steady connection with our existing agents, referring new individuals to come to the company. Mike, correct?
Our biggest way to try to recruit new agents is to get the good people to come in that you actually have great agents that refer their friends, family, anybody else that's out there that they know. It's always kind of, you know, turns into another great relationship that you can bring in another great agent with.
So referrals are what you guys try to
on. One of the things historically that's been one of the most effective things for us. We have a program called the Partner Up Program. So when we have an experienced agent that refers a new agent to us, typically they can work with the existing agent, the one that has the experience, for a short time as they're getting their initiation into the business. And it can fill a lot of the holes in a career if you have someone that you can work with along the way. So that's kind of a two-pronged attack. First, get in, and then ultimately you have to have someone that's going to effectively be able to assist in that training process to make sure that the individuals achieve competency quickly and then have their own opportunity to be successful in the business.
Okay, fair enough. But let's pretend that we're talking to somebody who is not yet licensed. They haven't signed up for their pre-license courses, and they have no clue about how it works. They have no clue about the process. They have no clue where to go, where to look, who to talk to, what to do. What are some things that, you know, you would tell that person on day one? Like, where should they start their search, and what type of stuff should they look for? What are maybe some red flags to look out for, you know, in a school? What are some things that they might think is, you know, better than another institution or another instructor?
That's a good question. We didn't really complete the last portion. We were talking about the referrals. Let me just kind of give a quick overview too. We get a lot of inquiries that come in directly because we do have advertising and marketing signs posted at each of our four locations that let the public know that we do run real estate classes for them to be able to get their license. We have an online presence, which you're very active in, getting the word out online to many individuals that would be target market individuals that might like to start a real estate career. So that's been also very effective. We also get corporate referrals from Weikert for new agents that come through their national website there that are seeking information on a real estate career. And I'd say that we also have some recruiting services that we work with. And Mike, maybe you could expound upon that a little bit because you're our director of recruiting and
right. So if somebody, let's say, they call in on the sign because it says get your real estate license, or they search online, and again, it's their very first attempt to reach out to somebody. They're probably going to get in touch with you.
I think it's the biggest. So make sure you got a great instructor and a great school that you're with, and then someone that's going to be able to teach you everything that you need to know, but kind of always get you through the course as well. It's not the easiest course that's out there.
Definitely not. So I'm just going to tell you my experience quickly, because when I first started my search, I had no clue, right? I just knew getting a real estate license might provide me some good opportunity. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I didn't know what I should be looking for, because it's not like you're going through like a traditional institution or school. So it's a little bit of a different process. So all I really did was go online and start searching basic terms, right? And then obviously everybody's school in the area starts popping up. And a lot of them look the same, but you know, some of them, I start seeing variances, which mostly was in the price. So like for me, when I would see one that says, you know, get your get your license costs $500. And I see another one that says get your license costs $300. Another one says it's $1,000. You know what I mean? So that's where I got stuck. That was the first point where I got stuck because I didn't know why one was better than the other because they all kind of look the same. So, I mean, is there anything any tips you can give people on what to look out for?
Just like any wise consumer, you should always investigate as much as you can individually as you make your calls. Some of the variance on price may have something to do with either the quality of the instructor and or the number of classroom hours that the individual is going to put in. There's a variety of programs now that are approved by the state of Illinois for real estate licensing. They include self-study programs. They include partial contact programs where individuals do not have to spend all of that time in the classroom. And then there's full classroom opportunities for those students that feel that they'd like to be with an instructor along the way. So obviously, at those different levels, you could have different costs that are set up. The affiliation that we have is with several companies we've over the years worked with. Not only the local colleges that are in our area, junior colleges have this program. Typically, the local colleges program takes a full semester, and that could be as long as 16 weeks on it. We've found that if we can have other school options that shorten the time frame, that the individual still can get through the program a little bit more quickly, which is important to them and also to us to make sure that they have that level of enthusiasm. Because 16 or 18 weeks through a program is a long run. And if it can be shortened under other programs to as short as 4 weeks to 8 weeks, then obviously the staying power for that individual is a little bit better and they're staying connected. And the information is much fresher in their mind when it comes time to take the state exam. Mike, would you agree?
I think, again, we've talked previously, Gino, about your experience with the class. There as well. There's programs that are out there that are mostly self-study with it, and then you study, and then all of a sudden you get to the end of the class, and then you know do 2 days of classroom experience at the end.
Yeah.
How much is that? How much do you retain after doing all the self-study, and then just sitting down for a Saturday and a Sunday with an instructor at the end? I think that we've developed a hybrid type of program here where we get people in, and it's anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, but you are seeing that instructor for a lot more time than just coming in at the end with it. So we've developed a Saturday program where you go 4 Saturdays in a row with it, 9 o'clock in the morning till about 3:30 in the afternoon. It is it does fall in that 90-hour program where it's 75 hours of self-study and 15 hours of classroom. But again, we always have said that it's a lot easier to learn when you're in front of the instructor. So we've actually put more classroom hours in to our program as well. And we also do a weekday program where it's Tuesday, Thursday evenings for 3 hours an evening for 8 weeks. And then that can, again, gets all your requirements done there as well.
Yeah, because obviously some people are better at self-study. Some people, they're going to learn much more efficiently being in front of an instructor in a classroom. Like for me, for example, I've always considered myself, a self-starter. I could always, figure it out on my own. And I took the self-study route at the beginning. That was probably born out of ignorance because I didn't know what I would be really getting into. And if I could go back and do it again, I would definitely have taken it with an instructor. Because it's a lot of information. It's a very dense course, and obviously when you're talking about complicated stuff like that, you need someone to ask questions to, right? Because you're gonna have questions along the way, and what are you supposed to do from there? Because they didn't really provide any kind of resource like that. There wasn't even like a forum set up, where I can go talk to other people taking the class, in real time. So yeah, I definitely wish that I did take it in a classroom. I think I would have gotten a lot more out of it. So then I was kind of playing catch up once I got my license and having to learn a lot through experience and through practice.
One of the things that we have identified within our class is that if one of our students takes the 4-week program, then there's a marker every week. So then there's a responsibility to stay on top of reading assignments, on top of quizzes, and then you're meeting with the instructor every 7 days. So now you have a marker to see if you're getting it or not, and you're taking some quizzes along the way, and opportunities are there for red flags. And if you're not getting it after week one or week two, then there's a very, very high probability that by week three and week four, you're going to still have major gaps that are there. Mm-hmm. So you have that opportunity with that weekly check-in of doing some preparation review and then moving on. So the component itself, the book that is used by our instructor, fits nicely into the pattern because it has 23 chapters in it. And effectively, if the instructors cover about one quarter of that, it's 5 or 6 chapters for each week. And just breaking it up on a daily basis, you could study one chapter a day, try to master that, and then move on. And then it all fits nicely together. Mm-hmm. You're done with the 23 or 24 chapters by the conclusion of the fourth week, which is the goal of the course.
Right. So I'm just brainstorming. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. But there's a lot of different classes out there that people could take, or instructors. There's a lot of companies offering classes, stuff like that. So there's going to be, I feel, a ton of variance in your experience, right, based on where you go. So I kind of feel like that's dangerous, you know, overall, because it's going to be hard to gauge the consistency of the students coming out of these courses, because they're all coming from different directions, you know what I mean? So I think that's where it's very important for individual brokerages or brokers, you know, to have their own kind of supplemental training in place when people come in. Is that fair to say? Because I mean, you're gonna have people coming in from different instructors and different courses, and they may not be on the same plane, right? Because they got different information. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely.
So then, I mean, what do you guys do kind of on day one, you know, to kind of get everybody up to speed and get everybody on an equal plane?
Well, probably for starters, so that we can identify the course material. The material that you take in the state-required class is primarily law-based. And as you know, I'm an attorney and practiced law for 5 years in the real estate area when I was also starting the brokerage companies. Mm-hmm. So I had a natural ability to really understand all the law. And when I was an instructor myself in the initial days of my career, I think that was a benefit to those students because I could actually explain contract law and agency law and real property law and try to bring it home in a more practical sense than someone that may not have had that background on it. The reality, however, is that even today, the course material of the information that you would receive and study for and then eventually pass the exam, a good 70 to 80 to 90% of it is really not used in the day-to-day practice of real estate brokerage.
Right.
And ultimately, then you have to get over this first hurdle, but then you need to be in a position that you start your career with fresh information that's really related to the sales industry, and that's what we provide with our Weicker training programs.
Yep, I think for people who are just starting the process, I think their expectations are kind of skewed because they think they're going to take real estate classes and they're going to learn how to become a real estate agent, but that's not really the case, right? Because like you said, you're pretty much learning the laws and, you know, the ethics of the business. You're not really learning how to practice real estate, you know, how to be a successful sales agent. So that's really where linking up with a good company or good brokerage is going to, they're going to step in and they're going to train you up on how to be an actual agent. But I think that's kind of, throughout my search, I didn't see anything that indicated anything like that. So I kind of felt like, almost like I was being misled a little bit. You know what I mean? Obviously what you learn in the pre-license course is very important, but you know, the way that they kind of sell to people is, you're going to become a real estate agent. You're going to learn how to be an agent, but then you get into the course, and then you finish the course, and you're like, "What do I do?" Because at that point, you probably know just as much about selling real estate at that point as you did when you started the course. But then people, I felt kind of misled, to be honest. I felt like I didn't know what to do at that point. So I don't know if that's I don't know what to do about that, but
we run our career nights every Tuesday, 6 p.m.
Yeah, so you set expectations properly.
Multiple locations that are out there, our Irving Park location, our Park Ridge location, our Montclair Galewood locations. But again, I'd say it at every career night that all of a sudden you get your real estate license and then a buyer shows up at your door the next day. Yeah. And then what do I do
exactly with it?
So again, you need a very extensive training process to get you from, yes, I have my real estate license, to actually working with buyers or sellers out there. And then I think, again, that comes back to having a great brokerage that you work for, with the training, with a partner up program like we talked about, where you have someone that you could call at an hour notice saying, I got a brand new seller that's coming out. Yeah. They just gave me a call. Now what do I do? They don't teach you that in the real estate classes. With it, they teach you that in an extensive, training program that's out there. And I think that we kind of offer most of that here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have a core training program that Mike coordinates on behalf of the company. And that is webinar-based program provided by our national provider, by Weichert Realtors, national format. And Mike, you want to explain how the core training program works?
It's a get up and go program. It's a 3-week webinar series, live, interactive, go-to-meeting style with it as well. And you're in there for about an hour and a half each day with it. And it takes you from, again, the A to Z in real estate. And then all of a sudden I've got a buyer. What do I do? How do I dress? How do I come into it? How do I take the buyer or the seller from not knowing anything about real estate to getting them through the process? It's not the easiest sell that's out there. It's a tough business, but we want to, again, make sure that we're always taking care of our clients first and foremost.
Yeah, definitely. So I think it's important for people who are thinking about getting a real estate license to understand that after you get your license, you go through the 90-hour course, that's just step one of the education process. And you have to understand that you're going to have to go through another set of classes and training once you actually get licensed and are working with a company, and not to expect that you're just going to go through the 90 hours, get licensed, and then you're going to be selling real estate on day one, right? That's definitely not fair. And I think when people come in with that mindset, they set themselves up for failure. But then, of course, let's say you've gone through all the training with the brokerage and you've actually, you have the opportunity to work with your first buyer or seller. And then all of it pretty much goes out the window anyway, because in the real world, when it's go time, it doesn't really work like it works in the books, right? You're always going to be throwing curveballs. There's always going to be things that come up that you don't know, because people have all sorts of, intricate questions that they don't really explain in the training. So that's where it's going to be super important for you to have things like the partner up program. You're going to have your broker to refer back to, in real time. I think the bottom line is you can learn as much as you can from the book. You can learn as much from these courses, but you really have to just be okay with throwing yourself to the wolves, at the beginning and learning on the fly, I think. Because in the real world, it's pretty much never like it is in the books. It's pretty much never like it is in the webinars or in the training or in the discussions, I think. Nothing's ever really standard, right? There's no standard operating procedure out there in the real world. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Because in each transaction, we're dealing with a new scenario, a new set of buyer needs, a new set of sellers that we would be negotiating with, depending on, again, where we happen to fall in the individual transaction. Different brokers are involved in the transaction. Eventually, different attorneys are involved in the transaction representing those parties. Each of the parties in the transaction has its own role. And ultimately, it probably comes back primarily to experience. And if there's some level of experience at the top of the company with the core management team, then that can filter down to the individuals all the way at the agent level. I know one of the things that we see, often is when that first agent lead does come in, through a family member, friend, or the like. Our Partner Up program means that the experienced agent that we already have working in the company is going to partner up with our brand new agent that is coming in to make sure that there's no gaps and that there's no sacrifice of service to the client, because our ultimate goal is to make sure that the client is very well satisfied you know, with our services, and they get great representation. And when you have someone that's brand new in the business, we need to get them up and get them started and make sure that their enthusiasm level is very high, but we also need to know that they have the product knowledge, and that can only really be provided by someone that has some level of experience in the business itself. So is Michael had mentioned, Mike, when you start with a brand new agent that comes in and you're working with several of our new agents now, oftentimes you'll work with them and accompany them on several of their appointments to make sure that they are headed in the right direction. Correct?
Of course. And I think you need that backup that's there on it. It's very, very difficult just to, like you said, pop in and all of a sudden start selling real estate with it. If you don't have any buddy behind you, then it's again, that's, it comes down to you know, picking a great brokerage as well. If you don't have that, then it's very difficult to get through a transaction correctly with it. Everything, like you said, there, you know, you're gonna get curveballs here and there with it, and that's you get over those through experience. But again, if you have somebody that you could just pick up a phone and make a quick phone call to, then that helps tremendously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the dynamics I think that we see so much in the industry is that as a brand new agent comes in and they go through this interview process, and they're going to sometimes stop in at two or three or four brokerage companies that are usually in their vicinity, or sometimes on a referral basis they'll come in. And ultimately, if that agent goes to a broker and then the broker says, well, don't worry about anything, I'll take you under my wing and I'll make sure that you are trained, you know, well in the system. In my experience, that the chances of success under that type of a program are very, very slim. And the reason is that most likely the managing broker, the owner of the company, whatever the circumstances, is the busiest person in the company. And therefore, that they may be working with multiple clients, they may be managing multiple individuals. And if there is not a program in place to make sure that every single detail can be handled at the agent level, which would be a couple of steps down from ownership or from the top management level, then you have issues, you know, that are going to develop, because just the number of hours in the day are not, there's not enough of them to be able to actually hand train one individual along the way. So again, that's why we had the experience of doing this in our career, and our systems that we set up have that management tier that's in place through the Partner Up program. But we also have administrative support at each one of our offices, and our administrators that we have working for the company, our office managers, understand the industry also. They've been with us over 20 years, so they know how the systems work. They're not going to give real estate sales advice. That would be going back to our Partner Up, or eventually to me. The buck stops with me because I'm the owner of the company. So they all of our agents have the ability to contact me, give me a call, text me, and I try to be very responsive to it. Ultimately, though, our administrators can help along the way, too. So it's got to be a team approach. You have to have a number of individuals working together to be able to solve the issues, because you have to remember we are kind of like 7-Eleven. We, you know, our clients sometimes will call us as early as 7 in the morning, sometimes earlier, Mike.
Sometimes earlier.
And sometimes our transactions go to 11 o'clock at night, and we don't have Saturdays and Sundays off. So while you're not necessarily working all of those hours, you are on call for all those hours, and you need to be able to quickly find out the right answer or the right approach for a given agent's problem or scenario that they're trying to work through.
Yeah. Quick story. Yeah, just yesterday, I was doing an open house, and I was standing there with the two guests, potential buyers. They really loved the house, but they had a question I didn't know the answer to. And I called you with them standing next to me in real time, got the question answered. And, you know, that's probably a testament to you personally, and how, you know, you're, like you said, you're always available to people inside the company. But yeah, I mean, that was, again, it was a small thing, but it made a world of difference, because it was something that was very important to them and they really needed to know. And, you know, maybe it could wind up being the thing that pushes them over the edge to buy the house. Who knows?
Sure.
But, yeah, just
that's great.
Little things like
that. We reached out, and I think it's important that our agents do that. One of the most important things, and as we train, we always want our agents to be able to reach out and say, I believe I have the answer to that question, but let me confirm it with my partner, with my manager, with the owner of the company, so that you can give and deliver good information. It becomes more of a challenge when the agent that's out there thinks they have the correct answer kind of goes out, and this doesn't happen often, but they go out and they don't necessarily have the right interpretation of what the question happens to be at that point, and they can go askew, and our goal is to just have them always check on the upline. The questions, in our experience as an individual has worked with the company for a year or 2 years, they are gathering more information all the time. So the number of questions will typically lessen because they've gone through their training process.
Right. Fair enough.
I've heard it probably for 10 or 15 years now that if I don't know the answer to a question, it's not the worst thing to tell the client, yes, I don't know that answer, but I will find that answer out for you.
Right.
With it. So a lot of people will just make something up on the fly, but it's very easy to just go ahead and say, hey, you know what, I don't know that answer, but you know what, let me call somebody that might have that answer for you.
Yeah, it's for me at the beginning, that would happen to me all the time. I would never try to make it up on the spot or anything like that, but you know, I always felt like they were looking at me like I'm less of an agent, or you know, I'm not so qualified to be selling the property or something like that, but that's not really the case. You know what I mean? There, just because you don't know the answer, it's not the end of the world, and you don't have to, potentially get yourself in trouble by trying to make it up, making something sound good. You know, it's always better to just tell people, hey, you know, I think I know, but let me confirm. You don't have to actually say you don't know, but you just want to you want to get confirmation from the authority figure, I guess, in the
right.
transaction.
In my scenario, where eventually the buck stops with me, even though I have over 30 years experience and have done literally thousands of transactions, that does not always mean that I have the answer either. So I'm not afraid to say, hey, let me make a call. And I work with a bank of other brokers, sometimes that have certain opinions on a specific topic, or individuals that are experts in a certain area, say environmental or construction, that I may not have all of the expertise in, or finally a bank of attorneys. So I will reach out to anywhere from 5 to 8 attorneys that I work with on specific questions that may appear along the way. So I'm, again, not afraid to jump up and make sure that my interpretation is correct. We're living in a scenario here with many transactions where there is not a black and a white answer on it. There are many gray areas, and they are all subject to interpretation. So we're usually going to try to give best practices that would be there, or our best advice, but it is we're not in a foolproof industry where it's 100% always accurate. We're going to describe the scenarios, let the client make the decision. The other thing, kind of bouncing back to the original question start of today's topic, was talking about you getting your real estate license. Remember again that it's mostly a law course, as we just described before, correct? 70, 80, 90% of the material is legal based.
Yep.
But there is a distinction when we, as real estate brokers, we can only work in the real estate arena. We cannot give legal advice in the state of Illinois, so we need to refer those questions to attorneys. So knowing what to refer and knowing what to answer is also part of the paradigm that we work with every day in the real estate industry.
That's a good way to put it. A lot of the course is just learning what you can't say. Right. Fair enough.
You know, I think it can be what you can say and what you cannot say.
What you shouldn't
say. What you
say.
Should avoid saying. Yeah. And those are all
it's very important.
Gray areas in defining where a specific question will fall.
That's fair enough. And then, so if somebody was interested in getting started, where would you send them right now? Where can they get more information?
I'll let that one go to Mike because he's out there on a daily basis working with our brand new agent base, right?
Again, we run a monthly course that we've got out there.
Should I start at the Career Nights?
Career Nights, yeah. We run the Career Nights every Tuesday at 6 p.m. religiously. So we're always out there trying to give more information about, what it actually means to become a real estate agent with mm-hmm. it. So I think that's the first stop is to, you know, come over to a career night on it, hear a little bit more about the business, hear a little bit more about our company, hear a little bit more about the industry there. And I think at that point, we do a really good job of kind of letting you know exactly what the job of a realtor entails mm-hmm. With it. But at that point, it's getting into the pre-license class. And once you have that real estate license, it's something that never goes away for you. So again, there's a lot of value that's there with it. And again, it comes back again to picking a great brokerage to get you through. You know, now I got the license. Now what do I do? You mm-hmm. need that full on, you know, training to actually get you to where you're a successful realtor.
Right. And I think it's how long? An hour?
Half hour to 45 minutes. And then again, we're always there to answer as many questions as need to be answered.
Yeah. And I definitely wish that I had gone that route at the beginning, because I was just kind of swinging in the dark. You know, all I did was go online and I signed up, and then, you know, I had unfair expectations of what I could expect moving forward. So I think if you are thinking about getting into the business, you should definitely come out to something like that. It's short, but you're basically going to get your expectations, you know, leveled out, I guess. Which for some people, you know, once they come into the career night, do they kind of think that they're getting a job or something like that, and then they're not interested anymore? I mean, what type of stuff do you see like that?
Yeah, they don't really, they see the term real estate and they know that it's a great field to be in, or mm-hmm. they've heard it's a great field to be in, or maybe they want to buy some real estate at some point. So many different approaches to it. But the focus of coming to a career night is to introduce individuals to the concept of becoming an entrepreneur. And entrepreneurially, then they can own their own business. And that's the way we approach it at our company here at Weikert Realtors All mm-hmm. Pro. We want each of the individuals to build their own business under our roof. And ultimately, what that does is it permits the number of agents that we have to successfully build that business. Some are going to be more successful because they're going to be able to more successfully apply some of the things that they need for success. But they'll all have an equal chance to be successful under our roof, and a chance to build not only the Weikert name, but also their own personal brand, which is very important, because on all of our branding that we do, all of our signs, all of our connections, all of our internet marketing that would be done on behalf of agents, they're getting that personal branding. So they're not only being able to work and have an affiliation with a fine company like Weikert, but also have the ability to build their own business there and get the fruits of their own labors that I think we all would like to achieve. We also set some expectations, because starting their own business, remember, there's a financial aspect to the business, mm-hmm. and they're not coming in as an employee. They're coming in as an independent contractor there, and just as if they would be starting any kind of a business, they need some level of capital to get that business venture started, and then they need some staying power to be in the business. And those are the things that we talk about at the career night, because there's no advantage for us not to be providing full disclosure to the candidates that are going to be there, because we want them to really have an understanding. We don't want them to just enter the industry and then be in a position where later they don't have enough information and they think that they've made a bad decision, mm-hmm. you know, on it. We want them to know as much as they can. Of course, going through the process is always part of the fun. It's also part of the challenge there. And hopefully it works out for most of the agents. And in our qualifying programs, I think that we get more individuals that are better qualified and have a better understanding mm-hmm. when they first get started than many other companies.
Yeah, definitely. Once they start getting plugged in and they start, you know, hearing about how the process works from you guys at the career nights, or, you know, even at the throughout their pre-license training, you know, they obviously are going to learn a lot of stuff. But a lot of the marketing you see, it'll say things like now hiring, stuff like that. And so they call in, they think that they're going to be applying for, you know, a salaried or hourly position, which is not the case. So I don't think that's necessarily misleading, because you are hiring them. But, you know, a lot of that stuff gets left out, I've noticed, which I think transparency at that stage is actually even monetarily valuable to companies, because now they're not wasting their time talking to these people who think they're getting, you know, a salaried job, and, you know, they don't have any interest in actually like you said, being starting an entrepreneurial venture. They just want to come in and clock in and work. So, yeah, I mean, I that's just a little tip of my own that I've noticed. I think transparency goes a long way in your marketing of this stuff. That's my take. I don't know.
Okay. Mike, same.
Again, I mean, it's an opportunity. You know, come out to, it's a career, not just a, you know, you're not coming in just to get a job that's out there. So again, we're offering a, you know, an opportunity to come in and develop, you know, a long lasting, you know, career, not just, you know, we're going to give you the hourly, you know, paycheck.
Fair enough. So Mike, how, I'm going to flip the script pretty hard here. Mike, when did you get started in real estate? Like, when did you first get your license and start practicing? And then, you know, what did your process kind of look like at the beginning?
My process,
had a bit of an advantage, right? Because George, your dad, is already a successful agent and a brokerage owner. So, you know, you had a definite advantage at the beginning, right? Getting started, I would assume.
I would say so. Yes. But again, to me, I went through, finished up school in 2006, and then it was the height of the market out there. And again, I've lived in a real estate house my entire life. So I kind of had that background. Again, we got the support. It's a family business that's out there. I was looking at it as, yes, this is a great opportunity to get into real estate. And then, you know, a year and a half later, the market flipped. Yeah, we hit the recession that was out there. But again, to me, it was an opportunity to kind of learn from the ground up with it. I've been in my entire life. I'm 34 years old, and I tell everybody that I've had 34 years of experience because I was going to open houses when I was 4 or 5 years old out there as well. But again, to, you know, come right out of college to getting an opportunity with the business, to watching the market dive and then kind of you know, building it back up, I think it was a great opportunity for me to learn the real estate business the correct way with it. I don't know if that makes sense, but again, I to have the support of a great broker and a great dad that's always, you know, that helps for sure with it. But again, I think I've got the went from, I saw the bottom of the market, and then, you know, well, we were able to build it back up to today.
Yeah, because at the height of the market, it's kind of hard for anybody to actually lose, right? I mean, everyone's going to be successful. There's so much, you know, opportunity in business to go around. But because you were just getting started at that point, and you were able to witness, you know, George keeping the company afloat and, you know, building it back up once they recovered, I think that wound up being an advantage for you. You know, because you've played on both sides of the fence, right? Absolutely. You saw it growing up, and then you saw it when it was at its peak, and then you saw it when it was in the garbage, and then you saw it being built back up, right? And you're actually, I'm sure, a big part of that process, building it back up, you know, from the company side, because you were actually part of the company at that point, right?
Correct.
So I want to know actually what it's like working with your dad every day. I mean, don't be afraid to say, like, it sucks sometimes. Don't be afraid. I mean, what is it really like? Because I'm sure there's a lot of interesting dynamics that present themselves, you know, throughout the process.
He's easy to, he's an easy boss with it. So I'm sure I'm not the easiest employee for him, or the easiest son. But again, I'm here. I try to be as available as possible with it. We do a lot of work together. So I try to, you know, be more available than not for him.
I'm sure it's mostly just professional interaction, of course, but, you know, I'm sure sometimes it starts to bend a little bit, and, you know, you guys kind of get frustrated with each other, but I'm sure you guys do a really good job of not letting that carry over into your home life and stuff like that. But
I mean, yeah, it's because I've had so much experience over the many years that I've been in the business. I really can appreciate a great individual to work with. So Mike's been a tremendous bridge for me in having the company continue to grow. Obviously, he's got the energy level, being a graduate of University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. He's got the great educational background. He's opted to jump into the business that I really know and that I love. And ultimately, you know, I'm in a position where I can have complete faith and trust in assigning things for him to complete, which are going to move the company forward. We have discussions throughout our upper management team about different ideas that we have, and then we commit to those ideas and we try to move them forward from the company side. So it's been a real blessing for me to have Mike available. He's been a great connection for me from the perspective of the technology side in the industry also. And ultimately, as we have this millennial group of individuals running through the marketplace, he's often been a real good connection for me along the way, as I might have worked with the grandparents or the parents, and now the next generation is there in place. It's a natural opportunity for me to either work with them myself, partner with Mike on certain ones, or just have Mike take the ball and run with it for those individuals, depending on his workload and my workload. And ultimately, we both sell, so I think that that's a significant advantage to our agent base, because we're in the trenches on a daily basis, and they understand that we're not speaking from the mountaintop, but we're actually down in the valley with them along the way, step by step there. And we're also maintaining not only our own separate sales contacts and our own clientele, but also then working with our agent base for whatever their needs are.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, Mike, when you were getting started, you saw a lot of opportunity to work with the company, a lot of upside. But were you ever considering doing something else? Like when you went to college, I mean, what was your plan? And then how did it change, or was this always your plan?
It was just always there. I don't think I ever had another thought that I was going to do anything else. I think it was just growing up, I was in the real estate business my entire life with it, and I saw the opportunities that the real estate profession affords you as well. So you work really, really hard, but again, you can dictate some of your own hours out there as well. So I went and I played sports all the way through high school, and I had a dad that never missed a game with it too. So again, I saw him, he's a great real estate agent, but again, it affords you the opportunity to do a whole lot more as well, rather than just having a typical 9-to-5 job. And that always appealed to me, because again, I don't want to just have to work. I'd rather have, everything else that some life, that life affords you too.
Fair enough.
Part of my own personal background, just jumping back one generation, on my signature line, it says George M. Ristaw Jr. Well, my dad, George Sr., we've spoken earlier about him. He was a real estate salesperson and the like, but we had five kids in the family, and in the 1960s and the early 70s, he was one of the first individuals that was subject to corporate downsizing. And so when he hit 55 years old and he had the experience of working for a major corporation for over 30 years in kind of a middle management position, they just basically cut him and they said, you're done. And ultimately, he told me at that point, and this was very much the case as the American economy has continued to go in that direction. You don't, when you work for a major corporation, you don't have the controls on your life for the long term that you would have if you could be an owner of a business. Now, ultimately, the ownership position that I took was in the real estate side, but any entrepreneurial opportunity that someone participates in, I think they have a lot more control over their own destiny rather than being in a position where they have to just rely on a corporation, because if the corporate goals change, which now 30 years is unheard of for corporations, but individuals can commit blood, sweat, and tears for 20 years, 15 years, and ultimately can go sideways very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So this opportunity with real estate afforded me the ability to squarely place on my own shoulders my destiny, rather than being in a position that I was beholden to someone else to be able to make that decision for me. So that if there's anything I carry, it's probably I carry that along, and then try to you know, to be somewhat instructive of the kids and the family with Mike and Danny and Rob. They've probably heard the speech a few times, too many over the years, but that's really the core speech that gets you into the entrepreneurial game. And I know, Gino, you're an entrepreneur yourself and involved in multiple ventures. I'm sure you see and feel the same way in many, many respects.
Yeah, I think that opens up a conversation of how people have to stop drinking the Kool-Aid, basically, but we could be here all day talking about that, so we'll
save
that.
Maybe for a future session.
Yeah, so last thing, just share a couple things, talking directly to other brokers slash dads who might be considering, you know, starting a company with their son or bringing their son into their company, you know, to kind of take the reins or whatever. But talk directly to brokers or other business owners on some things that you think, you know, why it might be a good idea or a bad idea maybe to start working with your family, you know, based on your experience.
Well, I think again, the family connection is always great, and we've afforded our family members that opportunity. It's always up to them, you know, to make an informed decision on whether they like this industry or whether they don't. Everybody's a little bit different along the way, but one of the things that Mike alluded to in his last mention was the flexibility of the career itself. To me, I did work in a downtown environment where I was on the road at 7 o'clock in the morning. This was for a few years in interludes of my real estate career, on the road at 7 and home at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night there. And that does not really lend itself well to being a participant in your family's growth. And my personal growth also. You know, I've always been active and done a lot of different things socially. Played softball in my heyday, a lot of 16-inch softball in the city. So lots of games, working with the kids, with Mike, Danny, and Rob, with their little leagues and soccer teams and their basketball leagues along the way, having the opportunity to participate and even organize those things. I was afforded that ability to do that. There were years, you know, typically I could work as beyond the clock as many as 70 hours a week, but actually only working real estate 40 or 50 hours a week. So you do have the ability with this career to plug out sometimes of 2 hours here or 4 hours there to be able to you know, to work and to participate in other other things that you think is going to be great for your own personal benefit and also for your family's benefit. Mm-hmm. And then still now today with technology, you can still be on the clock and still be running your business. And that's one of the things there. I always tell the story about being the third base coach, and the first guy up comes up and hits a triple, and I've got a client on the phone because the inning, he hit the first pitch, so I'm telling him to slide as I've got the client on the other line as he's coming into third base. So we do have that ability to walk away, to take a little break during that, and to really still continue to run our business even though we're doing other things with our life.
Mm. Has there ever been any kind of funny stories about how maybe you guys were butting heads at work, and then, you know, you guys went home to like Thanksgiving dinner or something, and then you guys were just had a standoff all day because of work or anything like that? Anything funny ever happened over the years?
Over? I haven't had that relationship.
No.
I've got the best partner up that's out there with it. Again, I call him every single day with some question, even if I know the answer. It's just, you know, give George a phone call to make sure that I got it correct with it. But again, yeah, we've never had any.
No, I don't.
Any instances.
Boring.
Yeah.
Nothing to share. And honestly, nothing that I can really recall. And with my sister Joni Kanicki, who's one of our top agents too. I mean, we grew up in that household. My siblings all had real estate licenses. But I think that one of the key things that I always understood about the business was that it's not an easy business, and it is a high-stress business, and that you need to be able to be understanding and empathetic to the individuals that are involved, because at one point or another, you're going to be in the same spot that they happen to be, and just have to be understanding. And if you get to that point, then I think you can exhibit some leadership, and you can, you know, keep things moving forward for yourself, and also maybe give them some instruction that hopefully makes things a little bit better for them at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very good thing that you guys are able to do that and practice empathy and, you know, avoid that type of stuff. I guess I'm just placing my family, you know, inside of your framework, and I imagine we wouldn't last a day working together, but that's fantastic. So do you guys have any other final thoughts to share about career nights or, you know?
I'll let Mike close this one out.
For career nights, again, we're offering that opportunity that's out there. It's the business that I've known, the business that George has known, you know, for the last 30 plus years that I've, you know, been around with it. And it's not something to take lightly. I mean, it's a career, like we explained earlier. It's not just a job with it. And again, it's a self motivating career as well. So you got to come in, and if you are there and you can work for 10 hours a week, you can do something. It affords you the opportunity to make a great, a great career with it. But if you only work, you can work 40 hours a week and then still not, you know, put in the same amount of time and effort with it. So again, it's, again, we're just creating an opportunity, you know, for different individuals that are out there. And again, we've got a great training program as well to get you, again, from having that real estate license to making it a successful career.
Definitely. The sky's definitely the limit if you want the opportunity. Yeah, like I said, my final thought is that people need to have the right expectations when they're getting started. And again, that was my experience, that I kind of went in blind and, you know, almost didn't want to participate anymore because I thought I got myself into something I didn't want to get into because I thought I was misled. But yeah, I think that's where career night is going to be very invaluable to people. just to get those expectations set properly. And then any final thoughts, George?
No, I think you did a great job. Covered today, Gino. It. We appreciate you again giving us the opportunity to talk about our company.
Cool. Well, that's it.
Perfect.
Take care.
Thank you, Gino.
Thanks. Have a great day, Gino.